Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here. Welcome to the DevOps for ASP.NET Developer Series. DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. In this episode, we're going to introduce Azure DevOps. I like to describe Azure DevOps as everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. This includes work item tracking, source control, CI/CD, testing, and artifact storage. Let's see what Abel and Jeremy have to show us.
What's going on, Abel?
What is up, Jeremy? So excited to be here. Been wanting to do a show with you forever, so this is cool.
This is very cool. In fact, I was excited about the show, put together a little bit of code that we can demo. I got it working and running on my laptop. Mm-hmm. Last step is just to get it in the cloud so we can both access it.
How are you going to get it up there?
Well, there's this awesome option in Visual Studio to right-click publish. That you look disappointed. Is that not the right option to
take? No, there's nothing wrong with right-click publish. It works great, especially if you just want to get your app out into the cloud. But have you thought about building out a CI/CD pipeline?
CI/CD pipeline sounds like a lot of work. I'm a developer. I like to write code. I'm not as much into the ops side of things, if you will.
Dude, I get that. Like, I'm a DevOps practitioner, but I kind of hate building out CI/CD pipelines for myself because I like writing code, right? But have you seen the new Azure DevOps toolset?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. It is literally everything you need to take an idea and turn that idea into a working piece of software in the hands of your end users. And you can do all of that with just a couple of clicks.
Really?
Yeah. And when I say everything, I mean everything, right? Which sounds like a lot.
It does.
So the way it does that is there are five separate tools that work together as a suite of tools inside of Azure DevOps. Now, first, there's Azure Boards. And with Azure Boards, you have the ability to track any unit of work in your software project. So if you do any type of software project that is of any size of all, you need to track your user stories, you need to track your bugs from sprint to sprint, things like that.
So basically all the post-it notes I have laying around my desk, I can move to something digital.
Yes, you can track it all inside of Azure Boards. And there's a full set of visual tools that will make tracking all that stuff really easy.
Nice.
Yeah. The next thing that you have is Azure Pipelines, where inside of Azure Pipelines, you're able to build out your CI/CD pipelines. And you're able to do this really, really easily. And I'll show you how to do that in a minute.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because it still sounds complicated to me.
The next part is Azure Repos. In Azure DevOps, you have the ability to have source code repositories.
Right.
So you can either have Git repos, or if you don't like the distributed nature of it, of Git, you can have a centralized version control system as well. So there are two types of version control systems baked right into
it. Right into it, okay.
Yep. And then if you do a lot of manual testing, there's Azure Test Plans, which is a test plan suite. And then finally, Azure Artifacts, where you can store all of your artifacts for sharing as well.
That sounds like a lot. That also sounds pretty expensive to me.
You know how much it costs?
I have no idea.
Absolutely free. All you need to do is go to dev.azure.com, sign up for a free account, and then you can start using this. And like your typical workflow, okay, so me talking about all of these separate tools and how they work together and how it's great for DevOps, that's fine. But why don't I just show you what a typical
that sounds good.
Workflow. All right.
Yeah, because I need to see it in action to really understand.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So this is the little demo that I prepared for you. Right here, we have the app that you emailed to me, the Smart Hotel 360.
Sure.
Now, this is a pretty modern app, right? It has a .NET Core web front end. What else does it have?
It's got a mobile back end. It hooks into serverless functions. Mm-hmm. It's got connections to databases.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty comprehensive application.
It looked like it, right? Because you gave me all this code in a repo. So it's a modern application. And what we're going to do is I'll show you if you use Azure DevOps end-to-end, what your typical developer workflow looks like and what the benefits will be.
Okay.
So right here, what we're going to look at here is this is your dashboard into Azure DevOps. Now, this is actually my engineering dashboard for my real work that I'm doing. So this is real live data. So what I want to show you is this dashboard is fully customizable where you can make it look and display whatever you want it to do.
Right. This looks like something my manager would get excited about. My manager loves to see dashboards and widgets and charts, preferably green and moving up instead of down. But
in graph trends and bug trends and stuff like that. So the power, one of the powers of using Azure DevOps is it's a suite of five tools. If you use all five of the portions inside of Azure DevOps, all that data just automatically gets correlated.
Okay.
So you don't have to use all five portions. Let's say your code is in GitHub or maybe you're using Subversion. You can still plug in whatever tools that you are using now into Azure DevOps.
Okay.
But if you use all five of the tools together, you get an unprecedented view into the health of your project.
Makes sense.
Okay. All right. So for this application, let's just say somebody flagged a bug, the future of intelligent hospitality, connected workplace. That's the wrong text, and we need to change that.
Okay.
Right. So typically, what do you need to do? You need to go ahead and create the change, upload it, and then you have to figure out, how am I going to deploy this into my dev environment, QA, UAT, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And people like your manager, they're probably going to ask, okay, that check-in, what was that check-in for? What work was that associated with? And if you're not using Azure DevOps, that's kind of a pain to try to figure out exactly
what those things are. Usually just grab the post-it note. I'm like, it's this pink post-it note. That's the change I'm working on right there.
Yep. So now you can do it all through Azure DevOps. Okay. So let me go ahead and show you. Right here, this is my Kanban board. And this board here displays all the work that I'm doing. And as you can see, it's a very visual board. If I'm working on stuff, I can go ahead and start dragging and dropping items across the board.
Very simple,
right? Now, this Kanban board is fully customizable, which means you can make this look and behave however you want. The swim lanes are customizable, so I created a super duper important one.
So what you're saying is super duper important and then sort of closed, didn't come out of the box.
Yes, imagine that. Yeah, so I created those just for demo purposes.
Okay.
Right? So you really can make this board look however you want to. You can even customize exactly what shows up on each of the cards. You can customize so that each cards have individual rules as well. So right now, if a work item is assigned to me, it turns it green. But if it's like a priority one, well, it turns this strange.
Wow. Okay.
Color, right? So once again, you can customize this and make it behave however you need to. So I need to make some work, right? I need to fix this bug, the landing page text. So directly from this work item, I can go ahead and just say, you know what, let's go ahead and create a brand new branch for myself to work in. And we'll call this landing page. And notice it automatically links it up to the work item. I can say create branch, and bam, just like that, it will go into my Git repo and create a branch for myself to fix this specific bug.
Now, I'm a little new to Git, so when you say you create a branch, my understanding is it's sort of a sandbox of the code that I can work with?
Yes.
For my change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we can dive into source control a little bit later.
Okay.
All right. So I've created a branch for myself to work in, and now I need to go into my dev environment and make those changes, right? So let's go ahead and pull the branch down, and we'll go ahead and check out the landing page. And I'm doing everything through the command line just because I kind of like playing in the command line. But there are tools inside of Visual Studio that you can do everything through there as well.
Okay. So it's whatever your preference is, there's a way to do it pretty much.
Yeah. I was born in the world of the command line, so I'm just happy there. All right. So here is my code. Let's add some changes to it. The future of hospitality in connected workplace, let's just say, is able. There we go. So let's go ahead and do a git status. And you can see I made a change to a file.
Okay.
I can add those changes, and let's go ahead and commit those changes back up to Azure repo.
This looks so much easier than bringing a floppy disk with it on a zip file, by the way.
Yeah, because then I'll have to figure out, where's my floppy disk drive? Does it work with USB-C? I mean, it's such a pain.
So many nuances.
Yep. All right. So let's go ahead and push those changes back up to Azure pipelines, Azure repos.
Okay.
All right. So Azure DevOps is actually smart enough, right, to know that, you know what, I just checked in code. And so now it's going to ask me, hey, do you want to create a pull request?
Okay.
Right. A pull request is just a code review. Now, if we're adopting DevOps best practices, we definitely want to do a code review before that code gets merged into master and then pushed all the way out into potentially production.
They may not agree that the future of connected workplaces is able.
That might
come up in the review.
Sounds preposterous to me. But yes, we do want to do a pull request. So let's go ahead and just click on create a pull request. And that's all I need to do, right? It's going to add my title and the description from my check-in. If I want to change it, I can. Notice that it's still automatically linked to the bug. I can start adding reviewers. So let's go ahead and add Donovan because I love flooding his email box with stuff. You can even set it up so that depending on which folder the code is coming from, it will automatically assign people to be part of the pull request.
Oh, nice.
So then we'll go ahead and create the pull request. Donovan doesn't have permission. So anyway, I'll just say anybody on my team for now. We'll go ahead and create that. And the first thing you see, this is going to be a timeline of everything that's happened to this particular pull request.
Okay.
So as you can tell, nothing has happened yet, right? Nope. I just created the pull request. So let's go ahead and start this. You can go to files, and from here, you'll be able to see every single file that was touched and what was changed. Now, for this particular pull request, it's super simple. There's only one. But you can just start leaving comments already. So you can say, I cannot agree with this statement more. And we'll go ahead and add in a comment, right? So hooray for that, we're done.
So you don't just comment on the pull request, you can comment on the actual line of code.
You can comment on the individual file, on the individual line of code. You can comment like an overview of over the entire pull request if you want, however granular you want to make it, right? And so as soon as I create this comment, it sends an email and alerts me.
Okay.
Since I'm the one that started the pull request. So I can go in and look at this and be like, you know what, thanks, that's great. I can even add like an animated GIF or something. Reply and resolve this.
Nice.
And now if you go to the overview, right, you can see how this timeline actually works. Right? So it's super, super nice.
Very good.
So of course, people usually ask me, what if the statement wasn't positive, right? What if somebody said, no, ABLE is not the future of connectivity?
Right.
How do you change that, right? So not a big deal. All you need to do is go back to this specific branch, make whatever changes you need to, upload
it. And then recommit it.
Yep, recommit it, and then continue on with the pull request.
Got it.
And at some point, someone's going to be like, this looks great, or they're going to reject it, right? So for this demo, we're going to go ahead and approve this.
Because if we rejected it, we would stop right there.
Yeah, exactly. Demo over.
Yeah, we want to move this forward. I want to see how these pipelines work.
All right, so let's go ahead and complete this. So once we complete this, there's a couple of checkboxes that make life easier. One of the things is, remember, this was already linked to a bug, right?
Sure.
One of the things that I always forget to do is update my work items.
Mark that it's done.
Yeah.
Right.
So if this successfully merges into the master branch, it will just automatically mark that as resolved.
Okay. Sounds convenient.
The other is it will take this branch and it can automatically, if it merges successfully, it can automatically delete this dev branch for
you. So it's cleaning up your workspace?
Yes. Because what do I always forget to do? Clean up my branches, and so then I'm left with like a million orphan branches.
Sure.
And then finally, the last one's probably my favorite one. This particular branch could have a lot of chatter in it, right? Because I'm checking in, checking out a lot. You're saying you need to fix XYZ, I fix it, I check it in, but I'm not doing it right. So there could be a lot of chatter on this branch. What we can do is we can squash all those changes so when we merge into master, it becomes one clean commit. So when you read master, it's super easy to read and figure out what's going on.
That is awesome because when I was looking at Git, I came across a document talking about the manual way to squash changes.
Yeah.
And it looked way more complicated than what I wanted to get
into. You have to memorize all these esoteric Git commands, which I never remember, by the way. So I end up having to jump to Google, searching it, and then typing it in. But now it's just a checkbox.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and complete the merge. And just like that, it's going to take the code and it's going to merge it back into master.
Okay.
Now, once we merge it into master, it's going to go ahead and kick off my CI build.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and see what that looks like. So here's my build. And you can see my build has already been kicked off.
Wow.
So from here, we're able to see in real time what the build is actually doing. Now, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for it to connect to the agent. So while it's connecting, why don't I go ahead and show you how you set up these builds? All right. So the build inside of Azure DevOps is basically a task runner. right? It just runs one task after
another. Step one, step two, step three.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So what you end up doing is you just drag onto the screen a whole bunch of tasks. These are the tasks that I want to run. Get my source code. Let's go ahead and restore my packages from NuGet. Let's compile everything using Visual Studio. Let's run my unit tests, things like that, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Okay. So then we wait for the page to load.
Now, you know the trick here, right? If you move your cursor clockwise, it should speed up the
It helps
loading.
It go faster.
It helps it go faster. See? I'm telling you, just telling you that tip made it
It's like magic.
It is.
So here you can see how I define my build, one task after another after another. First thing that I do is I install Bower, then I run Bower, then I go ahead and scan all of my source code using White Source Bolt, then I'm using .NET Core, so I'm going to go ahead and do a restore, I'm going to run all of my unit tests, I'm going to publish my test results, and when that's all done, I'm going to copy everything to a drop location.
Okay.
Right. So it's just like a normal type of compilation, right? All right, so this build system is fully customizable. You can make it do anything that you want.
Right? Anything.
Anything. So the way that you customize this is by adding and removing tasks.
Okay.
So out of the box, let me just show you, you have hundreds of tasks that you can just start using. Now, of course, there's all sorts of .NET and Azure-y stuff because we are Microsoft, but this tool, once again, any language targeting any platform. Doesn't have to be .NET. We can do Java, we can do Go.
So my mobile backend application could go through this tool?
Absolutely,
okay.
It can. Absolutely,
cool.
It can. So then people sometimes ask me as well, this is great, you have hundreds of tasks out of the box, but what if I want to do something that's not out of the box?
Right.
Not a big deal. I would look in the marketplace. In the marketplace, our partners have created over 500 build and release tasks that you can just download and start using.
Very cool.
And if what you want to do doesn't exist out of the box and it's not in the marketplace, still not a big deal because you can write your own custom tasks.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's basically, if I have it, I'll use it. If I don't have it, I'll buy it. If I can't buy it, I'll build it.
Yeah, pretty much. Although buy it, most of these tasks are free.
Most of
too.
Them are free.
Yeah, so just download it. But yes, that's pretty much the concept. Building a custom task, super easy. It's Node.js. Or PowerShell.
Okay.
So what that means is anything you do from the command line, easily you can get this build and release system to do. Which also translates to you can get this build and release system to do whatever you want.
Sounds good.
Yep. All right, so the build should have progressed pretty nicely. Let's take a look and see where we're at right now. So here is the live view, right, where you can see live exactly what it's doing. From one step to the next to the next. And it's just showing all the command line.
Now, did someone have to configure a server and set up a build machine for this? Like, I've been tasked with that in the past, and that's a pain.
You know what?
Getting a build machine perfect for your job.
That is a great question. Because if you wanted your own build server, you could. Or you could use our hosted build agents. So what we've done is we have a whole pool of agents hosted up in Azure that people can just start using.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
That's it. It's loaded up with a standard set of tools, and every month we publish exactly what tools and what software are on our agents. If what you want has to be installed using a GUI, then you have to have your own agent.
Okay.
But otherwise, you have control over that agent while it's running. Now, the cool thing is we offer agents not only for Windows, which makes sense, but Windows, Linux, and Mac.
And Mac.
Specifically because, you know how like in iOS apps, you have to have a Mac to compile
sure.
it?
Sure.
Right, that's the licensing thing. So because of that, we actually have a pool of Macs that people can use. So as a .NET dev, if you're using something like Xamarin,
right.
you can literally be an iOS dev, but not own a Mac.
Not own a Mac. Yeah. Wow.
And once again, you get all of this for free.
Okay.
All right, so the build just finished. And what we can do now is take a look at that build report. Right. So let's go ahead and go to the summary. And you'll see a really nice summary that shows everything that's happened. And this is kind of what I mean about you have that full end-to-end picture. We have the check-in for this particular work item. these are all live links, right? So I can click on this link and actually see which file
drill
was checked
into it.
Yep.
Yep.
Here's my build. I can see the errors, the warnings, the tests, which tests have run, which ones have passed, which ones have failed. It created my drop for me. And now it's going to go ahead and start deploying my application for me. So sending it through a deployment pipeline as well. So let's go ahead and jump and look at the deployment pipeline. So here's my deployment pipeline. It's running, I guess, in real time. So I'll go ahead and show you how you set this up. Right. First thing you do is you set up your stages. Once you set up your stages, I have a dev stage, a QA stage, and a prod stage. Then you can set up approvers before and after each environment. Right? So when it goes from one environment to the next, you can have an approver.
Right.
So you can set up manual approvers, and you can set up, like, I don't know, a list of people where every single person on that list has to approve before it can go to the next environment.
Okay.
Or you can have a group where if one person approves in the group, then it will flow through. Or you can have none at all, right, where it just can automatically go from one environment to the next as well. So you can really tighten this down as much as you need to, or open it wide up if you want.
It's nice that it has that flexibility.
Yep. All right, so let me go ahead and also show you, let me go ahead and jump to the releases and show you how you can set up the individual release as well. So let me hit edit. So you set up your environments, you set up your approvers before and after each environment. Then you would go into each one of your stages, and now you're going to add the tasks that you need to deploy your application into that particular stage.
Okay.
So this task engine, just like the build, because it's literally the exact same engine.
So the build was dealing with taking my source code, running tests, creating the artifacts, the output from the build.
Yep.
This is going to take that output now and deal with how am I going to run it? Am I deploying to, it looks like here, Azure Deployment, create a resource group, web app, Azure Resource Management Template. So infrastructure as code and all these cool buzzwords that.
Yep. So the first thing that I do is I go ahead and deploy the environment out in Azure using an ARM template.
Okay. And oh, so you're actually setting up where it's deploying to.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I start from nothing at all, and then it's going to create for me the environment in Azure using an ARM template. And then I'm going to take the compiled web app that we did during the build, take those binaries, and I'm going to deploy that into Azure.
Nice.
So once again, fully customizable. You can make this do whatever you want by adding and removing tasks. So this is just like the build, right? Hundreds of tasks out of the box. Go to the marketplace if it's not there. Not in the marketplace either. Write your own task.
Now, can this, for our mobile app, we now know that we can compile it on a Mac machine without me buying a Mac, which is great. Will it deploy it to the store?
You actually can. And I'll show you how to do that in just 1 second.
Okay.
All right. Very, very good question. All right. So let's take a look at our pipeline and see how our release is going. So here we go. Looks like we've released all the way out into dev, and now it's waiting for QA, waiting for an approval.
Okay.
So if we jump back to our app, let's refresh this and see if the changes happened. It's refreshing.
Telling you, you need to do the cursor trick.
I
That's
really do,
the secret.
I? See, once you bring it up, bam, it's done.
There you are. Able.
Successfully done. So as a developer, this is super easy, right? Once I have this set up, literally all I do is check in my code and all of this happens.
Wow.
So one last thing I wanted to show you is, let's go ahead and jump to our pipeline again. Oops, that's my super pipeline. You can notice it's pending approval in my QA environment.
Right.
So I can go ahead and approve it, and immediately the bits will start flowing into the QA environment. I can also defer my deployments, which means I can schedule my deployment for later, right? So I can say I do approve this, but let's do this at Saturday at 2 in the morning when no one's on the system, or something like that.
Sounds good.
So I'll go ahead and approve, and immediately bits starts flowing into the QA environment. So earlier you were asking me about the iOS build, right?
Right.
So what I'll do right now is I'll go ahead and show you what the all-up build for Hotel 360 looks like. You know we have our web front end, right?
Right.
There we go. We have an API service, and I took your code and I put it into a Kubernetes cluster just because that's what I was working on recently, and so I thought it would be kind of cool.
Okay.
So for the API service, I build everything, and at the end result is going to be a container image. Right?
Right.
So I take that and I create a Helm package out of it. And then finally, I have a build for the iOS. So this is 3 parallel builds that run all at the same time with one check-in.
Nice.
Just to show you that this is real, right? For the web app, I'm using a Windows agent.
Okay.
For the API service, I'm going to use one of our Linux agents.
Okay.
And then finally, for iOS, I'm going to use
macOS.
The macOS. And when this build is finished, it goes ahead and triggers a release. And once again, I have one release, 3 parallel tracks that will deploy my entire application, all parts of all microservices, right? We got the web front end, the API, and the mobile, all the way out even into the App Store itself.
Nice. That's pretty amazing.
So this is the power that you can get, the power of DevOps using Azure DevOps.
I'm excited. I definitely want to drill in. It looks like it does everything. It looked easy. But I want to figure out how to set this stuff up myself. So I think we should dive into it a little deeper.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for coming over and showing me this awesome tool. I'm excited about transforming the application.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right.